Good evening, everyone. The meeting will come to order. Thanks for coming, everyone. Let me just talk a little bit about our agenda tonight. We don't have targets yet. We are working primarily thus on language tonight. We're going to start off with the education area, where we've got one or two education items, or really one education item, and then after that, the higher education area, where I think we have a K-12 education related amendment, as well as some leftover higher ed amendments from the earlier meeting. And then we haven't done anything yet in the environment and natural resources area. That was left over from the last meeting. So we're going to go through and do the language on the environment and natural resources area. And we have a few small items after that, but that's pretty much the agenda for this evening, and then it will be the call of the Senate for tomorrow. So I don't expect a real late evening tonight, but anyway, that is our agenda. So we're going to start off with the education area, unless anyone's got any questions. And I will recognize Senator Cohen. And I guess, Mr. Strom, if you could come forward.
So, Mr. Chairman, we're having distributed the A88 amendment, and we'll ask Mr. Strom and Mr. Arneson, I think in particular Mr. Strom, to lead a discussion on this. This language has been drafted in an effort to deal with the maximum effort school loans and how we should properly handle the language relative to that. Both bills, members, you're well aware, utilized in our Representative Loon and Senator Weaver can speak to this better than I can, but in putting our bills together, both the House and the Senate utilized a recovery of money from those school loans. But there was some question as to whether or not they would be counted at the level that both the House and the Senate booked, which was approximately $53 million. And as a consequence, it was determined that there was the need for some further language. So that's prelude to having, Mr. Strom take it away and explain it to us.
Mr. Strom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, in front of you, you should have the A88 amendment. This amendment is to a provision that's the same provision in both the House and Senate bill. That provision's already been adopted, but I think you can just layer this language right on top of that. It was a technical change to that same section of law. And in addition to the technical change to that section of law would be this change. And the purpose of this change is to essentially exclude school districts that have capital loans from issuing one-day bonds and paying a lesser amount back to the state. The way the language is drafted here, a district that has a capital loan could still issue additional bonds, whether those are for the long-term facilities program or for additional facility needs, but the tax rate for those bonds would go on top of the maximum effort tax rate. So the practical effect is that a one-day bond would no longer result in savings to the school district of money that would otherwise be repaid, and instead would incur a higher tax rate for the school district if they chose to issue additional bonds. So that's what the language is doing. There's also a second part to the language that puts this language in place only after 3 years or later after a district receives a capital loan. And the reason for that exception is that there may be some cases where the school district that receives a capital loan issues bonds in a series where more than one issue is made after the receipt of the state maximum effort bond, and this gives them just a couple of years afterwards to ensure that the full amount of the money from the state and their local bonds are all issued before the restriction would come into play.
Senator Cohen.
So thank you, Mr. Strom. So that's the explanation for what we're attempting to do. I'd move the A88 amendment, but in doing so, members, if you would make reference to Article 7, the facilities section, if you have not already done so, and if you would look at, tab 7, and if you would look at in the House language, line 157.19, and it's a little bit confusing, but you're not eliminating the language that starts excluding the debt service, but you're adding other language after the comma that says, as Mr. Strom has explained, excluding levies for bonds issued and so on, and excluding the debt service levy for obligations, current language that's in the bill. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that language.
Thank you, Senator Cohen. Any questions on the A88 amendment?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. I have no questions. I just wanted to thank Senator Wiegear, Representative Loon, as well as the chairs for doing what really is the right thing and some good policy here. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the A88 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A88 amendment is adopted. All right. Thank you, Mr. Strom and Mr. Arneson. I think, let's see, I see Representative McNamara here. Let me confer with Senator Cohen on something. We have another education amendment before we go on to the next subject, and so I guess we need to look at this and place this. I'll recognize Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Conference Committee members. As you will recall from Sunday night when we did the adoption of many of the policy items that we had come to agreement on, the Perpich area was a little confusing, and so I think it was Senator Cohen had asked staff to prepare an individual amendment just to reflect the agreement, and so that's what this amendment language is.
Okay. All right. This is Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, so I think this is in tab 2. Education Excellence, is that?
Yes, this is in tab, the Education Excellence tab.
So we're looking at
R66.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I've got... Okay, so, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
On the Education Excellence, now my page numbers are off. I have page 66, but I think others might have page...
We are on, there's a newer version. If you have that, it's R69. That was the 3:45 p.m. May 5th version as opposed to the 1:18 p.m. version.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, whatever version you want to use, if you take a look on section 63, the page I have is 103, line 20, and I'm not sure if you want to make, Mr. Chairman, the other reference to line...
Or page R69, and the lines would be the same.
But it's to substitute, and correct me if I'm wrong, Representative Loon, it's on section 63 to substitute this language, which eliminates the language relative to the Perpich school, but adds this language indicating that there must be the completion of board training consistent with present statute with an effective date. And so I would move that language.
All right. Discussion to Senator Cohen's A73 amendment. Senator Wigger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do support it, but if we could just get a clarification again on the different versions of the books in front of us, because I have the R68 page. There's reference to R69 and then another. So we could have a number of scripts here.
Okay, I guess what I'm looking, I've got two versions here, Senator Wigger. One was printed May 5th at 3:45 p.m., and that one references page R69, really page R69 and 70, because section 63 begins at the bottom of that page on line 103.20. And then I've got another version where it's page R66 to R67 that was printed at 1:18 p.m. on May 5th. So I guess depending on which version you have, you either start out on page R66 or R69.
Okay.
Does that help, or do you have yet another version, maybe, Senator Wigger? I don't know.
Mr. Chair, I don't know. Don't ask, don't tell, or I guess I understand.
All right.
Just so it's clear, Chair, as we get into some of the more interesting amendments.
Okay, Senator Cohen?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, just maybe it would be helpful, because I'm trying to struggle with the same lines and pages that Senator Wigger is. Basically, what we're doing, though, is just eliminating all of the language that exists in Section A.
Yeah, we're eliminating
all of 63.
All of 63.
But all of it that's in, because there's new language in A, and there's new language in B, and we're getting rid of all of that.
Let me call on Representative Loon to explain it. Representative Loon.
Mr. Chair, let me try to explain. As proposed under House Section 63, there were about four changes. It's subclause A, B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. What the amendment does is indicates that only C is what we will be retaining, which is with regards to all board members receiving or must complete board training requirements. But A, B, and D are eliminated. Okay. So this amendment indicates C is what we are keeping from that section.
Thank Senator you, Mr. Fischbach. Chair. I just wanted to confirm so we all know.
Sure. Okay. Any other questions on the A73 amendment? Okay. See no other questions. All in favor of the A73 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A73 amendment is adopted. All right. Do we have any other amendments on the education section? Okay. Seeing none, let's move to higher ed. And I guess maybe I can ask Mr. Gehring and Mr. Fuller to come forward. Oh, there he is. Okay. That's okay. Oh. Okay. And do they have an amendment they've passed out? All right. Okay. Yep. All right. We're passing out an amendment here. Mr. Gehring, Mr. Fuller, welcome back. I think we're going to take up the A91 amendment first, which is being distributed. Okay, we can do A90 first if that's what people would like to do. Okay, so let's move to the higher education side by side. And members, we're passing out the A90 amendment, and I guess I'll call on either Senator Cohen or, I don't know, Senator, should I call on staff to go through this?
Mr. Chairman, this is the first time I've seen this, so maybe we could have either Mr. Gehring or Mr. Fuller indicate what we have in front of us.
All right. Mr. Gehring or Mr. Fuller, I believe this is one amendment that's been agreed upon. Can you tell us about it?
Mr. Chair, Matt Garing from House Research. In addition to the amendments that are being passed out, there should also be a table that's going around that describes each of the amendments and what the documents are that have been agreed to, so you could follow that if you have this.
I don't think we have it yet.
I think it may be on the way. So, Mr. Chair, the A90 amendment is an amendment to the Senate language on page R49 of the side-by-side that relates to the University of Minnesota budget allocation report. And what the A90 does is adds MinSKU to that reporting requirement, and there's some new content for MinSKU to report on their budget allocations to specific college and university campuses. So if the A90 is adopted, you'd have budget allocation reports to the legislature coming from both the University of Minnesota and from MinSKU.
All right, members, I recall talking about this at our previous discussion. There was language in the Senate side talking about doing a report on budget allocation with the University of Minnesota. The subject came up of whether it would be useful to do one for MinSKU, too, and this is the result of that study. So, Senator Fischbach, question?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and this is more of a process question, I guess, and I apologize for being late. This would be the first time that we started anywhere near on time, and I was expecting us to be a little later. So maybe you explained at the beginning, but...
No, at the beginning, we just got rid of all the stuff from your district.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had enough votes, Mr. Chair. I guess I'm just wondering, yes, they've been agreed upon, but have we stepped into more controversial things now? I mean, because I know that in the last few days we've just been doing same and similar, and, you know, not all of us are involved in all of the areas, and so I'm just wondering if these are just same and similar, if these are more controversial, we're starting to agree on, and we're progressively moving into those.
Well, I guess I would say this, Senator Fischbach, the environment article we're taking up tonight, this is the first time we'll have done environment and natural resources. I think there's a lot of same and similar language we'll be adopting there. These items that we're dealing with on higher education now were items that were left over from the other night. So I don't know that they're necessarily controversial, but for whatever reason, there were issues that had come up the other night where we didn't deal with them at that time. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'd move, if we look at R49, the amendment we have in front of us adds MinSKU to the title on line 22 and then adds a new section B that references MinSKU as well as the first section now numbered A. So I'd move the language.
All right. Senator Cohen moves the A90 amendment. Any discussion on the A90 amendment? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the A90 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A90 amendment is adopted. And Senator Cohen, I think while you're on that, maybe we should go to the very last item on here, which is the budget allocation report for the University of Minnesota, because we had never actually adopted that language, I don't think.
So, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we adopt that language in total then.
Okay. And staff, can you give us the exact language that would be in terms of lines? I think on your side-by-side, is it 21.22 through 21.33 as amended by the A90 amendment?
That's correct, Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Senator Cohen makes that motion then. Any other discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor of Senator Cohen's motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The language on lines 21.22 through 21.33 on page R49 of the higher education article, as amended by the A90 amendment, is adopted.
Yeah, see it.
Okay. No?
So, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Cohen.
So now we're going back. This is the first I've seen this. We're going back to tab 2, the Education Excellence section of K-12, moving to amend relative to the I think some of the testing appropriate. And so if members look on chart 12 and I think after no, this isn't.
Yeah, I'm wondering, maybe I can call on staff to direct us to the right place here, because I'm having trouble finding it as well. Mr. Fuller, Mr. Gehring, we're looking at doing the first item on here, the A91 amendment.
So, Mr. Chair, the A91 amendment is actually drafted to amend the Education Excellence article, and I'm not sure which tab that is in your binder.
Yeah, that would be the one that we were on earlier that we also amended with our first amendment.
So if you find the Education Excellence article, you'd be looking for page R15.
Okay, yeah, I've got that. That would be the, and this would be the newer version of that we have had it drafted to.
That's correct.
Okay. So that's page R15, the House language on the newer version of the Education Excellence article.
See, this is all.
Yeah, and we'll take a minute here while we find it, because it is confusing, because we've got a couple different engrossments here. Do you have, by any chance, what the page was on the old engrossment?
Yeah.
R15.
Well, that might have been R15.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
R18.
Well, yeah. That's the statewide test. So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
If we could have Mr. Gehring, I found an R15 of, you know, the 1 p.m. 18 book, section 14. And it looks like the amendment starts with subdivision 1, but maybe I could have either Mr. Gehring or Mr. Fuller make it clear as to where we are.
Mr. Gehring or Mr. Fuller.
Yep. No, I was reading.
So we're on page R15. I think it starts on page R15 on either engrossment, the House language. Mr. Gehring, I guess, can you explain the amendment?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I don't know if this will help clarify, but this language is intended to be inserted into the Education Excellence article, and it's drafted correctly. So there's not actually language to look at necessarily in the side-by-side. I think if you just refer to this amendment, you'll see the substance that's being proposed to be added.
Okay.
And
so, excuse me, Mr. Gehring, we're not taking out any language with this amendment. We're just adding this.
That's correct, Mr.
All Chair. Right.
Yep.
So why don't you go ahead and explain the A91 amendment, Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair, the A91 amendment is a revised version of the language that previously was in the House K-12 article and is also in the Senate higher ed article that relates to the use of the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessment benchmarks for mandating remedial education at Minsky campuses. And what this amendment does is it requires, first it requires the Commissioner of Education to adopt benchmark standards for the MCA high school tests, and then requires the Chancellor of the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities to approve or reject those benchmarks. And if the Chancellor chooses to reject them, he has until December 31st of 2016 to reject them. Then the Commissioner would be required to adopt revised benchmarks that incorporate the Chancellor's suggestions. And then the other substantive piece of this amendment is that it requires MinSCU to allow a student who is enrolled, who has received a career and college-ready benchmark on an MCA score, to enroll in courses without having to take remedial education in that subject area.
I'd move Senator Cohen.
Move the language, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Cohen moves the language, and Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I'm assuming that this was negotiated, or this language came from Senator Bonhoff and Representative Nornes, or where does the language?
Well, it is my understanding, Senator Fischbach, that the language was negotiated between Senator Bonhoff and Representative Nornes, who is here, and I can call on him. But I, you know, just because we have something that some people negotiated doesn't mean that we should automatically approve it. If you have questions, I, you know, certainly welcome them.
Well, Mr. Chair, was there any consultation with MinSCU or anyone who has any interest in this? I guess I'm just kind of curious. Seems like a very late date to be coming up with, and I understand it's conference committee, but significant new language, and I'm just kind of curious if it's agreed to, if anybody else had any input, how it came about.
Sure, no, that's a very legitimate question. Maybe I can call on Representative Nornes to give us his knowledge on this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator, all of the parties you mentioned have agreed to this language, including MinSCU. And Senator Bonner.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I
okay, and
I don't even know how to respond to that. I know we can't take testimony, or we're not taking testimony. I don't know if there's anyone interested, because we weren't provided any of the information beforehand. So,
well, we can certainly take testimony
if somebody was interested. I don't know.
Senator Fischbach, if you feel you'd like someone from one of the organizations such as MinSCU to come up and testify on this, we're certainly happy to do that.
Mr. Chair, if someone's interested, because like I said, I have not talked to anybody about it, because this is the first time we've seen it. So,
okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, because this was a provision that was in the K-12 article, I just wanted to try to shed a little light on it for the members that maybe aren't serve on that committee. You know, this was, in essence, this provision, you know, was in the legislation, at least on our side, from the beginning, in a slightly different version in the Senate bill. And really, all the amendment does is really spells out in more detail how the process will work of the Commissioner of Education establishing or putting forth benchmarks for students for the MCAs, that if they achieve those marks or higher on the MCA, that they would not have to take remedial courses, and that the chancellor then would have the chance to review that and could accept or reject it and offer reasons for rejecting. And so it just sets out in more detail the process, the timeline for when these things would happen. So I think it just provides a little more comfort for how this process would work.
And members, I think probably the biggest issue, as I understood in here, was this question of what authority the chancellor had to reject these benchmarks, whether it was merely a consultative authority that he had, or whether he had some sort of a veto power. And I don't know, staff, I don't know if Mr. Guerin or Mr. Fuller could just really quickly walk us through exactly how it works in terms of one of these benchmarks and the ability of the chancellor to just review them or actually reject them if he doesn't like them, or he or she doesn't like them.
Mr. Guerin? So what this amendment would allow is for the Commissioner of Education to establish the benchmarks, and then the Chancellor of MinSCU would be able to approve or reject them. You would have until December 31st of this year to do that. If the chancellor chooses to reject the benchmarks that have been established, then the commissioner will be required to revise the benchmarks and create new ones, and will be required to incorporate any suggested changes that the Minsky chancellor suggests to the commissioner to revise the numbers.
Okay. And was there any cost associated with this? This was something that that Minsky was going to absorb?
Mr. Chair, there's not an appropriation in this amendment, so I think it would be absorbed by both the agency and Minsky.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion to the A91 amendment? Seeing no further discussion, Senator Cohen renews his motion to adopt the A91 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A91 amendment is adopted. So Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, the next section we have in higher education is on R45. Would move adoption of the House language, which starts on line 13.25 and continues on the next page to line 14.30, and would move that language.
Okay, Senator Cohen, on page R45 of the higher education article, moves lines the House language, lines 13.25 through lines 14.30.
Mr. Chair, actually,
Mr. Gearing or Mr. Fuller?
Mr. Chair, I think you actually need through line 14.31, which has the effective date.
Oh, okay.
I would incorporate that.
Senator Cohen incorporates that into his motion through line 14.31. And staff, can you briefly tell us what this amendment, talk about this language?
Mr. Chair, this is the House language that relates to the Minsky pilot program for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The difference between the House and the Senate is that the House required that the program be implemented, and the Senate required that the program be implemented, and the House required Minsky to develop a plan to implement this program. This is the residential collegiate program for students with disabilities that would allow them a full-time college experience.
All right. Any discussion to Senator Cohen's motion to adopt this language on pages R45 through R46? Okay. Hold for a minute while we're looking a little more at the language. All right. No, we can wait.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Cohen. Excuse me, Mr. Fuller.
The Senate language basically picked up the House language, so there are no substantive differences. The Senate language was modeled after the original House bill, and the difference was we appropriated money and told them to do it rather than just plan for it. So the substance of the language is as identical as you could be as far as practicality goes.
Okay. All right, any other questions on this amendment? Seeing no further questions, all in favor of the Cohen amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Cohen's motion to adopt the House language, lines 13.25 through 14.31 on R45 through R46 is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, the next section we have is on R34. What I have in front of me recommends adoption of lines 17.20 and continues for several pages until 22.31. But since this is a new section, a new article, I'm assuming would also include lines 17.18 and 17.19, the article number and the title of the article would be my guess. Is that if counsel or Mr. Gearing can...
Mr. Gearing, Mr. Fuller.
Mr. Chairman, we will not be picking up the article number.
Okay, so you're saying that we should start at 17.20.
Correct.
Mr. Chair, I think the standard product for this bill is just going to be one article. That's all the higher ed provisions all together. So the original House and Senate bills had separated articles for different topics, but they'll just be one article for all of higher ed at the end of this process.
So, Mr. Chairman, So, understand that I'd move adoption of from line 1720 to line 22.31 of the House language. But making a motion would indicate this is something of some significance. This is the monitoring at the university of the psychiatric trials, which has been a matter of some attention. It's my understanding it's language of Representative Dean, so I don't know if he'd want to comment on the language or not before the adoption.
Representative Dean?
Senator Cohen, there's two sections that dealt with the oversight provisions. The university that we worked on with the university, they testified neither for nor against the university, but they do deal with the oversight of that issue, less so on the psychiatric issues, more with the IRB.
Senator Cohen.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonhoeff isn't here, but maybe if Representative Norris can indicate for the record, confirmation that Representative both yourself and Senator Bonhoeff agreed to this, and I'm going to ask Mr. Fuller to comment who would have worked with Senator Bonhoeff.
Representative Norris.
Yes, the answer would be yes. We have agreed.
Mr. Fuller?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that Senator Bonhoeff is in agreement with the inclusion of these sections.
All right. So,
Senator Cohen. Would move the language, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any other discussion to the Cohen motion? All right. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the Cohen motion to, in the higher education section, adopt pages R34 through R40, the House language 17.20 through 22.31, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The Cohen motion is adopted. All right, I think we're done with the higher education section, unless someone else has any other amendments. Oh, Senator Polga, Commissioner Polgamiller wanted to come forward. Commissioner, if you could come forward. I think we had a couple questions on one other section. Thank you, Mr. Gehring and Mr. Fuller.
Mr. Chairman, thank
Commissioner.
Thank you for the courtesy. I'm here to advocate for a House position.
First time.
It's on R17, and it is a provision that was agreed to by Senator Bonhoeff and Representative Norton. But I think after they had kind of agreed to it, I think there was further discussion among perhaps some of you or your staff. And I just wanted to clarify something on that language that might bring comfort. It's on R17. Did I say that right?
Yes.
R17, lines 318 through 326. And it's a provision that allows Office of Higher Ed to retain 5% of money appropriated for a program or a pass-through grant. And it was written so that it would only apply to new items that the legislature deemed appropriate, of which there have been about 10 or 12 in the last 2 years. And I think there was some confusion that somehow this could apply to the state grant program, which would be 5% of the state grant program would be a lot of money. And it's not intended to apply to the state grant program. That would not be appropriate. And the language that is in the House provision was the reviser's suggestion, which may have created some of the confusion. We actually had a provision that specifically said it does not include the state grant. And what we're talking about is small little programs like large animal vet pass-through dollars, teacher loan forgiveness, spinal cord research grants, sexual assault reporting, college possible pass-through, summer academic enrichment, concurrent enrollment grants, dual training, attainment goals. So these are MNSCU two-year occupational. Several of those actually did have set-asides, but the bulk of those never did. And when we pointed that out to the two chairs, they were kind enough, Representative Norton was kind enough to put it in this year.
Norness.
That would have been Speaker Norton or Representative Norton. Representative Norness. So, Mr. Chairman, I thought the House was really thoughtful this year. Senator Bonhoeff agreed after further consultation, and I sure hope this conference would be so kind as to make it possible for our teeny little shop to be able to administrate these programs.
Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, normally Commissioner Pogemiller is very convincing. Senator Bonhoeff, it's difficult to adopt this in her absence. And she had expressed not a qualification with me, but it was more, to be fair, Mr. Chairman, it was more of a passing conversation. But absent her presence, I'm a little bit reluctant to suggest we should add this. We could well do so, but I'd like the chance to talk to her before that happens.
Mr. Chairman, that'd be fine. I talked to her about an hour ago, but we're perfectly willing to wait. We just hope you'll give it some consideration, and I'll leave with some language we had originally suggested that clarifies the state grant.
All right.
I just appreciate your patience and willingness to hear me out on this.
Sure. No, thanks, Commissioner, for highlighting that, and when we get to this language, we appreciate having this additional input. Senator Lori.
You know, when we get back to this, I don't mind so much grants that already exist. If we missed the idea of putting a 5% in and we could go back and revisit them, but I'd be more comfortable being specific about which the grants were rather than a blanket for all time. I mean, this applies to the future, too. I mean, anything that we do, and I typically like to be a little bit more deliberative in how we approach things, and I'd hate this to just sit there and us not realize it at some later date and adopt some grant that we don't intend to have a 5% withhold applied to, and this would just capture that and leave it there. So, I mean, I don't mind the idea that you're expressing, but I'd rather just be specific about the grants that we're applying this to and leave it to future legislators to leave an administrative appropriation out of future grants if they so choose.
Well, this language hasn't been adopted yet, and I understand it's being worked on, and so I think we should, you know, incorporate those thoughts, too. And I guess, Representative Nornes, as you're working with Senator Bonhoeff and staff, maybe you can pass those on as you work on this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right. I'm not aware of any other higher education amendments. Does anyone have anything else for this article? All right, then I think it's time to move on to the natural resources article. And welcome Ms. Taylor and Mr. Knopf.
Skip over, but we could move.
I
just thought we didn't know. But
that's
you know more about this.
Mm-hmm. Simple things.
No, I don't.
Let's just. Why don't you mention
on this?
Okay. This, and then I'll go on to.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I guess as we go through the agreements, then I think that people should have a table that talks about the agreed upon language. The first language on page R9, it sounds like the agreement relating to a liability limit reduction for certain volunteers is something that has been agreed that we're not going to be doing. So moving to the next item on pages R10 through R11, Senate Section 1, House Section 2, Senator Cohen.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Would move on, this is on page R10, starting with 35.1 through, I believe, 35.5 on R11 would move the House language.
Okay, Senator Cohen moves the House language. And I'm sorry, can you repeat the lines again, Senator Cohen?
The line would be, I believe, 35.1 through 35 on R10 through 35.5 on R11.
Okay, I wonder, is it, staff, can you tell us, is it 34.33 to 35.3?
Mr. Chair, members, you'd want to move House Section 2, which would be lines 34.33 through 35.5 on
okay, so
R11.
So move the entire section then.
Okay.
Section 2.
Senator Cohen moves House Section 2 on pages R10 through 11.
Okay. Flag when we do it.
Okay. Any discussion to that motion? See no discussion. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The motion is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, let me take in a page from you. I should have continued. So on the next line, 35.6, Section 3, House language would be included, and it appears through Section 4. Let me find the line. On 36.16 on 12, Section 5. Which starts on 36.32.
Not Section 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. Let me stop at Section 4 through 36.31, and I would make that motion.
Okay. Senator Cohen moves the House language on page R11 through R12, Sections 3 and 4, with the lines that he designated. Is there any discussion to that motion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The Cohen motion is adopted.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, next we have Section 5 right below that, line 36.32, but there's an amendment. So we'll be working from the House language, but apparently there's an amendment to be distributed.
Okay. Do we have an amendment?
And
Senator
Mr. Chair, we agree in concept with that particular amendment, or what would be that amendment, but we have not seen the amendment yet.
Mr. Okay. Chair, Ms. Taylor.
Representative McNamara.
Ms. Taylor's got the answer.
Oh, Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, the agreement has been to drop this section, and there is an amendment, but as I understand it, it still may need a tweak, and it hasn't been finalized, so.
All right, maybe we should put this section aside for now, then, until we have the amendment done.
Okay. So, Mr.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, would go next to page R13, Section 6 of the House, line 37.8. And this language is different, but would move adoption of the House language, Section 6. So, be from lines 37.8 through 37.17.
All right, discussion to the Cohen motion of the House language, Section 6. See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion adopting Section 6 of the House language, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The Cohen motion is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, let me then go to on page R13. Section 4 on the Senate language, starting at line 85.23, and if staff can follow me, would appear that we would pick up then continuing Section 5 of the Senate bill for the rest of R13 onto page R14. Let me make that motion because we're taking Senate-only language on that. So I'd make that motion.
Okay, so Senator Cohen moves the Senate language on pages R13 and 14, Senate sections 4 and 5. Discussion to the Cohen motion. Looks like it goes all the way to the bottom of page R14.
Yeah, to line 87.11.
Okay. Everyone okay with that?
Yep.
All right, all in favor of the Cohen motion adopting Senate Sections 4 and 5, R 13 through 14, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Sections 4 and 5 are adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, the instruction on this was to adopt the Senate language. Now beginning on Section 7, we have some of the same language. So let's see if I can pick this up on Section 7. So this is on line 4. I'll work from the Senate language. 4.22 of the Senate language on page R15, continuing on page R16, picking up, going back to R15, picking up Section 8, Senate language at 4.27, continuing on page R16, Section 9 of Senate language at line 5.15, Section 10 of Senate language, line 6.12 on line page R17, picking up Senate language on R17 at line 6.28, continuing to page R18, picking up Senate language on Section 12, line 0.75, then continuing to page, I'm sorry, I could continue on page R18 to Section 13, picking up line 7.25. And then continuing on R18, to pick up Section 14.
I've got it, I think.
I'm sorry. Section 13. This chart has Section 14. But continue on Section 13 to the bottom on page R19 at line 8.23, which is the end of the section, inclusive, and would make that motion.
Senator Cohen, I wonder if you'd like to, on page R15, pick up, I think you started with Section 6, but I wonder if you want to pick up Section 5 as well.
No, that's where we had the amendment.
No, but there was another Section 5. So you want this section.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. So I would incorporate that into the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Cohen moves, starting on page R15 through R19, Senate Sections 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Representative McNamara.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I believe we're supposed to start with Section 7. I don't believe Section 5 and Section 6 are part of the agreed-upon language. I believe it starts with Section 7. And Senator Cohen went through Section 13. My sheet shows Section 14 and 15, but Ms. Taylor, I don't know where 14 is.
No, I think you're, Representative McNamara, I think you're looking at the House language as opposed to he's making the Senate, because the House language, Section 7, is, I believe, the same as the Senate language, Section 5. Is that correct, staff?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay, so yeah, Senate Corner, I think he said he was moving the Senate language.
Yeah, that's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, it gets
I got
confusing.
It.
Yep. Okay, other than we want to make sure this is right.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, doing so, what we have in front of us prepared by staff indicates that on the comparison, it's all the same language. I just used the Senate sections.
Okay, other discussion to the Cohen motion. All in favor of the Cohen motion adopting Senate language on page R15 through R19, Senate sections 5 through 13, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The language is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, I haven't looked at this previously. Indicates, well, I guess we did through 13. So then going to Senate language on R19, this would continue to the next page and would adopt the Senate language, I believe, relative to the David K. Dill Trail. So that continues on line R20. I believe it's simply, now this indicates delete K.
Yep, I see on line 87.27, it's the David from the previous line, K. Dill. I guess we want just the David Dill Trail or David Dill Arrowhead Trail.
That's correct.
Mr. Koff?
That's correct, yes, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, there are three locations where that occurs, on 87.27, 87.29, and 87.30.
And Senator Bowen.
So all three places would be removing the K period.
Okay. And Mr. Knopf, could I simply ask, I had thought... I thought I recall a discussion with Senator Bach where K was supposed to be included.
Yes.
But that's not the case.
I think
Senator Saxog, can you enlighten us on whether we want the K or don't want the K?
The request by the family was to remove the K.
All right.
Which we had previously left in there, so.
No K.
No K.
Okay.
All right, so Mr. Chairman, I'd make that motion. Okay.
All right. Senator Cohen moves the adoption of the Senate language, pages R19 through 20, section 6, remove the initial K on lines 87.27, 87.29, and 87.30. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The Cohen motion is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, next I'll be continuing to work off the Senate language is the Sophia's Law language, and we'll find that starting in R20, looking at Section 1 of the Senate, continuing through on R21, and then, let me make sure I pick up the right, through Section 3, which concludes at the bottom of R21, line 2.27. And, that's right. That says it's a different language, so I thought maybe I should separate that.
But I think they've agreed on the Senate.
Okay, I can, all right. So, Mr. Chairman, I had thought I would divide between similar and different language, but at your suggestion, the recommendation is the Senate language. It is different from the House language, and that would then include Section 4, starting at line 2.4 and line R21, and continuing then to continue still continue to the end of R22 on line 3.6 line R22 and would move the Senate language.
Senator Cohen moves on pages R20 through 22 Senate sections 1, 2, 3, and 4. Discussion to Senator Cohen's motion. See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted.
Okay.
Senator Cohen.
So then, Mr. Chairman, next is the watercraft transfer language. This would be Section 7, Senate language on R22, continuing to R23, line 89.11, and would move that language.
Okay, Senator Cohen moves pages R22 through R23, Section 7 of the Senate language. Discussion. See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, now I'm going to revert to House language. Other side of the page in R23, Section 20, which goes to from line 44.1 to 44.6. Section 21, again, House language, below that, starting at 44.7 and continuing to 44.23 on line 24. And I would move the House language.
Okay. Senator Cohen on pages R23 through R24 moves House language sections 20 through 21. Discussion of the Cohen motion. Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to revert back to the Senate language on R24, Section 8, beginning at line 89.12 through 89.29. Move the Senate language.
Okay. Senator Cohen moves on page R24, Senate language, Section 8. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted.
Yeah, I know. So, Mr. Chairman, we continue then with Senate language. This is the same language, but suggesting working from the Senate language. And this would start on Senate Section 9 on page R24, line 89.30. Which goes through 89.31, picking up Section 10 on the same page, 89.32, through on the next page, 90.14, including again Senate language on Section 11, beginning 90.15 on line R25. Let me turn the page, see what we have. Picking up Senate language for Section 12, which begins at line 90.29 on R25, and then continuing through Section 13 on R26, which begins line 91.18 and concludes on line 91.32, would make that motion.
Okay, Senator Cohen on pages R24 through 26 moves the Senate language sections 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Discussion to the Cohen motion. See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted. Senator Cole.
So, Mr. Chairman, let's revert back to House language on line R26, and this would be Section 27, which be...
Mr. Chair?
Senator Saxog.
Senator Cohen, I don't know if we're recommending action on the next three.
He could move it, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Stackhawk is correct. I was so anxious. Did not notice that.
We're doing well, though.
Then in the action section, that's blank. So on our chart, that was a couple of House sections followed by a Senate section. However, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Not trying to get ahead of the game. On page R29, section 15, which begins on line 93.4 and concludes on 93.8. I'd move that adoption, but there's a recommendation for an amendment.
Mr. Knopf, do you have some recommended language?
I think I...
Mr. Chair, what I would recommend is in the head note on 93.6, after the first non-resident, insert the word active to make it clear in the head note that it's only for active members of the National Guard. And then at the end of the line, delete the indefinite article and insert inactive. So the head note would read non-resident active members of National Guard. The body of the language would read a non-resident that is an active member of the state's National Guard may obtain a resident license and so on.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, would incorporate that proposed amendment in the motion to adopt Article 15.
Okay, Senator Cohen moves page R29, Senate language, section 15, with the oral amendment suggested by Mr. Knopf. Any discussion to the Cohen motion? Seeing none, all in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. Members will note that the next two sections, which mention the Senate language, suggest no action be taken. This would be on the lifetime hunting fishing license and the boathouse leases. So then skipping to R31, section 18 of the Senate language, which would be on line 95.24. This is the Asian youth fishing modification and would continue on R31, R32, and then to the bottom of R33 Senate side, line 97.19, would move that language.
Okay. Senator Cohen on pages R31 through R33 moves the Senate language, section 18. Discussion to the Cohen motion. See no discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, then we'll revert back to House language. Other side of page R33, section 5 of the House language, on line 32.9. And then if you continue looking at House language in R34, R35, and R36, to line 33.33, which would be the conclusion of line section 5, would move that language.
Okay. Senator Cohen on pages R33 through R36 moves the House language, section 5. Any discussion? See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Cohen,
then we're going to revert back to Senate language at other side of page R36, Senate section 19, line 97.20, which continues to page 39, line, I believe, let me just make sure. Looks like it's at, yeah, it goes to the bottom of line 100.28 at the bottom of line 39 and would move adoption of the Senate language.
Okay, Senator Cohen on pages R36 through R39 moves Senate language, section 19. Discussion to the Cohen motion. See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chairman, on page R40, House Section 29, which begins at the top of the page, 47.30, and continues to line 48.19, would move the House language.
Okay. Senator Cohen on page R40. Moves the House language, section 29. Discussion to the Cohen motion. See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted.
So, Mr. Chairman, we then have, going back to Senate language, similar language, but the motion will be to adopt the Senate language. So if we look at, this is the Cold Spring permits issue. If you look at page R40, section 21 of the Senate language, starting on line 101.16 through 102.10 on line page R41, would move the Senate language.
No.
Senator Cohen, I'm not sure if you want to move Section 22 also. I think you want Section 21 only.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Made the mistake because that's the next section. So, all right. So let me revise that to indicate I'm only moving to adopt Senate language on Section 21, line 101.16 through the next page, 101.33.
Okay. Senator Cohen moves on page R40 through R41. Section 21, lines 101.16 through 101.33. Discussion to the Cohen motion. See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted. Senator Cohen.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Now let me move to Senate-only language, and this is where I was really enthused. This is also on line one, page R41, section 22, which begins on.
No.
Oh, we don't.
No,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's no agreement on that. And then what we have next is proposed House language on R41. What's marked in terms of action is looking for more information from the DNR. So I don't know if either Representative McNamara or Senator Saxhog wants to indicate what we're doing here.
Well,
Senator Saxhog.
Mr. Chair, we are looking for some additional information, so we might as well wait with that one. We've got a couple others either. But
okay, well, we could adopt these, and I don't know if you're interested. I imagine the DNR is here. We could ask them questions tonight if
we could.
Think that's appropriate.
We could.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this. Why don't we finish up the language since we're almost there, and then we can bring up the DNR for some questions.
Mr. Chair, that'd be fine.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Senator Cohen, okay. Then I see the next. Senator Cohen, go ahead.
Yeah. So on page R42, we pick up the rest of the Sophia's Law proposal. We have a couple of other sections, but this would be. I'll work from the House language on Section 31, so that would begin on line 49.16 through line 49.24. The language indicates that it's similar, but there's the need, but the discussion is to move the House language with a date change.
Ms. Taylor, can you enlighten us on that?
Sure, Mr. Chair, members, what you would want to do is move House Section 31 and then amend it on line 49.18 instead of November 1st, 2017, or 2018, it should be November 1st, 2017.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, it's on line, as Ms. Taylor points out, line 49.18, I would incorporate that in the amendment or the motion and move Section 31,
okay.
House language.
Senator Cohen on page R42 moves the House language section 31, but on line 49.18 changes the year from 2018 to 2017. See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted.
So
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, then proposed House language on page, at the bottom of page R42, section 32, starting at 49.25, continue on page 43, R43, to 50.3, would move the House language.
Okay. Senator Cohen on pages R42 through R43 moves the House language, section 32. Discussion to that? See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, below that is another House section, but it's a different area, a different issue. So would move adoption of the House language. This is section 33, beginning line 50.4 through 50.16, and would move that language.
Okay, Senator Cohen on page R43 moves the House language, section 33, lines 50.4 through 50.16. Discussion. See no discussion. All in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, we've got some sections in a row, but I note that the next section, which is House language on section 35 beginning below that on R43 line 51.2, which would continue through line 51.15.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, that we're still waiting for an amendment to it. So
okay, I was going to mention
we'll wait on that.
An amendment. Yeah. So
okay, so we're waiting for an amendment on section 35. Are we okay going forward with 36 through 38? Okay. Okay, Senator Cohen.
Okay, so I can make that motion, but on what we have in terms of action, it says include. So I don't know if that's something to be added or if that's just...
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Knopf.
Senator Cohen, it's the same on both sides, so it's just to include. But I would work on the House bill because the Senate was a separate bill, so it just said this act is called Sophie's Law. The House had put sections in, so I think it would be better, even though they're really identical on how they work. They're different in how they're stated, and I think you'd want to adopt the House language for the citation because that will pick up on the sections of the bill that are cited as Sophie's Law.
Okay.
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, I'd like that noted on the tape that Mr. Knopf said to take the House language because it was written better. Thank you.
That's not what I said.
All right, Senator Cohen. Unless anyone has any other snide remarks. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, with that note, so section 36 on line, page R44, begin on line 51.16 through the next page, R45, line 52.2, to move the House language, the sections 36, 37, 38.
Senator Cohen on pages R44 through 45. It was House language, sections 36, 37, and 38, lines 51.16 through 52.2. Discussion of the Cohen motion. Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the Cohen motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, that would conclude the natural resources provisions. I don't know if either Representative McNamara or Senator Sachs at this point are prepared to go back to the sections we skipped, but that would conclude.
Mr. Chair, if Representative McNamara would concur, I'd say that the Aggregate Resources Task Force probably needs a little more information.
Representative McNamara?
Mr. Chair, I think we'd be better probably to move on. I think we have Senator Sachs and I have a couple of discussion points that probably wouldn't be fruitful to take up all the time at this point. We could probably just move on.
All right. Okay, Senator Cohen, I guess I've been informed that there is some agreement. Senator Saxog, did you say something?
No.
Oh, okay. I've been informed that there is some agreement in the energy article that has been reached between Senator Marty and Representative Garofalo on some sections. So perhaps we can move to the energy article, which I believe is just the next tab.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
That's correct. And we have, I think a page has been distributed, I think. It has not been?
Is this one?
Okay.
I guess there's only two in that.
Mr. Chairman.
So we have them. Why don't we pass them out? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. I was going to, because the document that will be passed out is inaccurate, so that's why I thought it might be easier if I explained it.
Oh, all right. So, Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess that being the case, I would defer to Representative Garofalo, and if, Mr. Chairman, you'd allow Senator Marty to participate as the chair of this section in the Senate.
Absolutely. Representative Garofalo.
So, thank you. And, Mr. Chairman and members, and first of all is on the energy and environment section. This would be on R26. I'll give members a minute to get there. R26. And this is Section 12 in the House language. So again, we're in the Energy and Environment section, House language, Section 12. And Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you want me to move that language or if you would prefer to have Senator Cohen or yourself move that language.
Okay, well, let me recognize Senator Marty also. Senator Marty, we're looking at the energy article, page R26, House language, Section 12. I guess, can you just confirm that adoption of that is something that you and Representative Garofalo have agreed on?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay, thank you, Senator Marty. We'll go ahead, Representative Garofalo.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt that language, again, R26, Section 12.
Okay, Representative Garofalo moves in the energy article the adoption of Section 12, lines 144.21 through 144.30 on page R26. Any discussion? See no discussion. All in favor of the Garofalo motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Section 12 of the House language on page R26 is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Second article, we're on second section, on R28. This is Section 17, lines 146.13 through 146.20, and with your acceptance, I'll move that language.
Senator Marty, would you like to comment on page R28, Section 17?
Mr. Chair, that's fine as well.
All right. Okay, Representative Garofalo moves on page R28, the House language, Section 17. Any discussion? And I guess if I can ask Representative Garofalo, I think there's been some discussion about this in our caucus. I think there was a bill on this that we had on the floor. Was there an amendment to that, or was there any changes between what we took up on the floor and this language?
Mr. Chairman, we did not take that language up on the floor. It was passed as part of the omnibus bill that we sent over. I think the discussion you're referring to was missing a lot of information, and now that's been subsequently corrected and informed.
All right. Okay. Any other discussion to the Garofalo motion? See no discussion. All in favor of adopting on page R28, Section 17, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chairman, there's a third section that Representative Marty and I have reached agreement on, but I'm getting that language drafted, so I think we'll just take that up at a later point or another time.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else have anything on the energy article? Senator Marty, as long as you're here, any other comments you'd like to make?
Mr. Chairman, no. There was one or two other ones we're still talking about.
All right. Thank you. Okay. And I think we've gone through the environment article. Let me just work on our next order of business here. We're going to confer up here for a moment.
Thank you.
lot of comps. Where is this thing? R65. Are we already done with the energy deal?
Yep.
I was out going to the bathroom.
Yep.
So well, I'm on R65.
Okay. So whatever you guys want.
All right, at this time I'd like to recognize Senator Saxog.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a the A225 amendment, and it's on the State Department. It involves the memorial commemorating recipients of the Medal of Honor. Mr. Chair, I'd like to have staff explain this.
Okay. If we could have staff come forward for state government, would that be Mr. Shepherd, maybe, and Ms. James? So this is the A-225 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members.
Ms. James.
Yeah, Stephanie James from Senate Council. This is a bill of, it was, it began as Senator Anderson's bill in the Senate. I'm not sure about the House lineage, but it's been modified. It is, establishes a Medal of Honor memorial on the Capitol grounds. And I understand that Mr. Mandel is here and can explain more about the memorial.
And Mr. Chair?
Okay, yes, Senator Saxog.
Mr. Mandel would do an excellent job of explaining this for a few minutes.
All right, Mr. Mandel. Welcome to the Supplemental Finance Conference Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Paul Mandel, Executive Secretary for the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board.
Okay. Mr. Mandel.
The House author, incidentally, is Representative Detmer, and that that bill passed out of rules this morning and is scheduled for House floor vote. We are already underway on an RFP. We've shortlisted to three design teams for a Medal of Honor Memorial. For those of you who aren't familiar, there's a pool, there's a reflective pool that's been empty and broken down by the Veterans Court of Honor. It's been not filled for the past 10 or so years. In working with the client group, there's a Court of Honor plaque that recognizes 55 or 56 Medal of Honor recipients, one of whom is still alive. That's a Minnesotan. There's a national convention coming to town for the Medal of Honor recipients on October 4th, I think, through 8th. There are, according to the national group, there's about 77. So there's some discrepancy about names. But at any rate, working with the client group, we are looking at restoring a water feature down at the Court of Honor pool, keeping the statue that was dedicated down there as part of the Veterans Service Building project. And the three teams will be coming in with design concept on August 1st with a jury to decide or select their winning design on August 15th. This is permissive language. There's no money involved. And I would be glad to answer any questions. I don't want to take too much of your time.
Representative Garofalo.
Senator Cohen.
Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mandel, when you talk about a memorial, what's encompassed? I wasn't quite following.
Mr.
Mandel.
The design concept, Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, the design concept will be delivered to us. There are three teams out right now responding to an RFP. So I can't tell you what the design will be. It is to recreate a new water feature down there, not necessarily a pool that will hold water, but some kind of a water feature. And the statue is required to stay. Other than that, I don't know what the design will be.
So, Mr. Chairman,
it's dedicated to the Medal of Honor recipients for Minnesota.
So, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Mandel, is it a new statue, or that's what I'm trying to...
It will retain, Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, by conditions of the RFP, the statue with the petals and the woman will remain, but they can add to it. It's all within the confines of the water, of the pool structures, the red granite walls. They can make it as large or reduce it, but they can't go larger. So there will be new features down there. I don't know what they will be because the three design teams are out now.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mandel, do you have a guess as to cost?
It will be, Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, it will be somewhere between $500,000 and $650,000. Right now they are out hoping for the design concept to, the fundraising will really kick off with the national event coming to town in October. Okay.
Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, I don't object to the amendment, to the contrary, but I just, Mr. Mandel and I have had some experience with memorials on the Capitol grounds, and I worked with Mr. Mandel and the CAP board on the Hubert Humphrey Memorial, and I think I gave about half my life to it, or at least half my legislative life, and it took a long time to do it. You know, proud of the work that was done. When we had the dedication in August of 2012, President Clinton spoke at the dedication, in addition to, you know, Vice President Mondale, of course. Had several thousand people at the dedication, but the accrual of the money took a long, long time. And I think I had the first legislative appropriation, and we did appropriate some money for this, public money, was in... I believe 1993. Dedication was in August of 2012. So do the arithmetic. And so I, for people who are involved with this, I say great, but it's not easy. Now maybe there's a place, maybe there are organizations nationally that are willing to help with this. You know, we didn't have that with the Humphrey Memorial, but there were some. Appropriations made through this legislature. There was some national fundraising that took place, it was a arduous process. I think the end result was very good. Obviously, this memorial exists in some form, but I want to say that the total cost of the Humphrey Memorial was somewhere around that same figure, I think.
Yes.
I think it was, what, 700 or something, 750?
Mr. Mandel.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, yes. I think it was about that when all was said and done. Yep.
So, and that was with some legislative appropriations.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, and anyone who's interested in this, it's not easy absent some kind of existing fundraising base, and maybe that exists with this. But I just want to make sure folks understand that it's not a simple process.
Mr. Mandel
and Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, the client group that brought this to us is being assisted right now. There's several staff members who are working on the national convention, and they are lending their expertise with regard to connecting to the large funders. Cold Spring has already spoken to us, and they're helping the client group as far as getting a 501c3 status and working towards getting some fundraising goals and where to go for their large donations. I just testified on the House about the state has usually chipped in about $150,000 or more, but there's no money in this bill at this point. So they are looking at the fundraising, they're looking at a major groundbreaking on the as part of the national event, and hoping to get publicity and a lot of funding when the national event comes to town.
So, Mr. Chairman, just finally, I hope it all works. It's for a worthy goal, and I hope that national organizations have some funding streams available, again, with the Humphrey Memorial, we really didn't have that. It was all self-created. But we did have some fairly significant people around the country contribute. Part of the problem we had is that in working on this, a lot of the Humphrey generation had passed away. And so contemporaries of Vice President Humphrey were not available in many instances. So just offer that not to oppose this at all, but just to suggest quite often I've learned easier said than done.
Mr. Mandel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, and others, just for your information, based on our experience over the years, and 93 was about 5 years after I started here, so it's been more than half my time here at the Capitol. We require a 20% maintenance fund that has to be deposited with the state before we even go out for bids. In addition, we do not, once we secure the design, we do not sign any contracts with the design team or start any design work until all funds have been reached. That way, once we reach our goal, we can design for that. But if we don't reach our goal, then at least we don't spend our time and money designing for something that we have to go back to schematic and start all over again. So there are no contracts signed and no commitments of money other than securing the first design concept.
Mr. Chair, I renew my
Senator
motion.
Senator Saxog.
I renew my motion.
Okay. Senator Saxog renews his motion to adopt the A225 amendment. Any other discussion? See no discussion. All in favor of the A225 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A225 amendment is adopted.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Saxog.
Inadvertently, we left out something from the State Department House language. It's page R48, line 188.17, section 57. Ms. James, either one of the staff, I'm sure, can explain.
Oh, yeah, I did recall that there was an issue here. Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, the conference committee the other night adopted the provision relating to the Veterans Preference Act. There was one section before the section that you adopted that is part and parcel of that. That is section 57 that begins on page R48 and goes on to page R49.
All right. If I can, let me just check my notes on that. And I guess, Mr. Shepard, I think I recall getting an email from you, too. Was this just not included in the, it doesn't look like it was included in the original articles that we were supposed to have adopted on the chart. Is that kind of what happened?
Mr. Chair, when we put together the table, we just left out one of the section numbers. But as Ms. James indicated, this was part of the issue. So it was just our mistake in putting together the table.
Okay. All right. Well, Senator Saxog moves in the state government section on pages R48 through 49, section 57, lines 188.17 through 189.6. Any discussion to that motion by Senator Saxog? See no discussion. All in favor of the Saxog motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The language is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Saxog, for catching that. Representative Garofalo.
And we have pages again. Pass this out. So our competent, highly competent, always qualified revisor staff is they have the amendment drafted that we can pass out that Senator Marty have agreed to.
All right.
So we'll pass that out.
And is this in the energy article as well, Representative Garofalo?
Mr. Chairman, this is in the energy article from House File 843 as well as from the tax, the Senate bill, Senate file. It's passed both chambers, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So Representative Garofalo moves the, as it's being passed out, the A16-1231 amendment.
Thank you.
Representative Garofalo, can you explain the amendment?
Mr. Chairman and members, this applies just to the only cooperative electric association in the state. That's Dakota Electric, and it allows, as the language says, it allows for that one co-op that is under rate regulation to be eligible to file with the commission for approval of an adjustment of the real and personal property taxes, fees, and permits. No. It was, Mr. Chairman, that was contained in House File 843, the Omnibus Energy Bill.
All right. Discussion to the Garofalo motion to adopt the A16-1231 amendment. Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, that's fine. It passed the Senate as part of the tax bill recently, and it's not controversial.
All right. Thank you. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the A16-1231 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Anyone else have any other amendments? Senator Cohen. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, when we were running through language earlier, we started out with higher ed, and we had the A91 amendment, which deals with statewide testing. I was reminded when we went through side-by-sides earlier in the conference committee, the Department of Education was very concerned about the language without funding being made available. And, Mr. Chairman, I just mentioned to yourself that I had stated that in the conference committee, back on Thursday night or at some point. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You indicated that we should keep the language in since it's language we agree to, but make sure that when we start appropriating money for this bill, that we provide the funding that might be necessary. I received a note from somebody from the agency that referenced the House file that had a fiscal note of $350,000. The conversation we were having up here is that Mr. Nauman indicated that there is a bit of a dispute between higher education and MDE. So I don't know if it would be possible, Mr. Chairman, to at least have a little bit of testimony tonight about the issue from one or other of the agencies.
Well, I think I wasn't really aware of any other amendments that we have. Senator Saxhog.
Well, I do have one one amendment.
You do?
Chair, yeah.
Well, now I'm aware.
It's the A208. And it deals with, in the state government bill, it deals with the plaque commemorating the capital restoration.
All right.
For the workers.
Let's, maybe we can turn to that and we can have, if there are representatives from the Minnesota Department of Education and MinSCU here, we can ask them a few questions about the appropriation aspect of what Senator Cohen was talking about. So maybe they can... Do I need staff here to deal with this amendment? We'll bring up the Department of Education and MinSCU in a moment, since this looks like a pretty small amendment, and you've got it. Let's go to you, Senator Saxhog, and get this out of the way. Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to have staff help me explain this.
Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, this is of a technical nature. The first sentence of the language in the current version of the bill, a section that was already adopted by the Conference Committee the other night, is written in the passive voice. So this makes it in the active voice so that there is a specific actor, the Commissioner of Administration, identified, and it gets rid of some other extra unnecessary words.
All right. So everyone have the A208 amendment?
Yep.
It sounds like it's a technical amendment. Senator Saxhog moves the A208 amendment. Any discussion? See no discussion. All in favor of the A208 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The A208 amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Does anyone else have any other amendments? All right. I guess if we... We're going to take some brief testimony here, and then I think we're going to be done. If we've got someone from the Department of Education here.
Caitlin Sider, Minnesota Department of Education, and thank you, Chair Nalbach, and members of the Conference Committee for your time tonight. I would like to thank staff for incorporating some of MDE's, addressing some of MDE's concerns in this amendment. For instance, I am very thankful for the language that would direct MinSCU to provide MDE in writing what their explanation would be for rejecting the benchmarks. But one of our large concerns comes from the fiscal nature of this language. On line 7.3 of the amendment, if the chancellor rejects the benchmarks, the commissioner must establish revised benchmarks. In my reading, I feel like that would require MDE to duplicate the work that we've done establishing our benchmarks and put the fiscal onus on the department. That work has been done through the testing advisory committee with psychometricians and national and state testing experts, and involves an intensive amount of work, which the fiscal note outlines in better detail to the tune of $375,000, I believe.
All right. Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I'm a little confused because when we originally looked at this amendment and adopted it, we were told that everybody agreed on this. I think very clearly we were told everybody agreed on it. So I guess why, if that was the case, then why are we having to revisit this? I'm a little confused. I understand what she's saying. I'm not confused about what she's saying. I'm confused about the fact that I was told, and the entire committee was told, that everybody agreed on this.
Well, and you remember, I actually asked a little bit about whether there was any sort of a money issue with this language, and I didn't have anyone really speak up at the time.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chair, I might maybe be able to help. The question at the time was directed to the higher education staff, and I think that they, from their perspective, did not see any fiscal issues associated with the question. However, the question in this matter turns on whether or not, if the benchmarks are rejected, whether there is a burden on the Department of Education, which, just based on how the staff work is split here, I think that had the K-12 staff been asked the question, they may have been aware that there was a fiscal note associated with this provision from the Department of Education's perspective.
Senator Fischbach.
Skip it.
Yeah. Well.
Not worth it anymore.
Senator Cohen.
Not worth it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was going to make the comment basically Mr. Nauman made, that I think
what happened is, you know, we didn't have Senator Bonhoeff, we had Representative Nornes. We didn't necessarily have anybody from Minsku. And I think when Ms. Snyder realized this was in, obviously had the concerns. So I think it's kind of folks, you know, crossing in the night or passing in the night is a little bit of what we have right here. So I do think as we proceed, we need to kind of resolve this. And Mr. Chairman, maybe we can have somebody from Minsku available to see why they feel there's not a cost as such. But we do need to keep that in mind. I'm going to ask staff to flag this for us before we finish this conference committee and to make sure, at least on the Senate side, I can't direct House staff, but Mr. Nauman, to maybe talk to Mr. Willens about this. You've been temporarily the analyst for higher ed, so maybe the two of you can talk about this and at least let myself know where we are.
And I guess I know the hour is growing late, but is there a representative from Minsku here that would want to say anything on this item? Doesn't look like we have a representative from Minsku here. Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I think that they were probably under the impression that it was resolved.
I expect they probably were.
I think maybe it should be left for a day or so that we can get all the input we need. And I understand you were suggesting that, but I think that given that Minsku isn't here this evening is not an indication that they don't want to comment. I think they left after they felt the things were done.
Oh, and I would agree entirely with that, Senator Fischbach. I just thought, well, if they were here, we could ask them to come forward. But I think it's an issue that we're going to have a little further discussion on. I don't expect we're going to do anything on it this evening. Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to concur with that. But again, it's something where we had indicated, at least I had indicated to the agency that I understood their concern last week. And the Russia things, you know, did not keep track of that this was the particular amendment. So we'll follow up, and I'll do some work on this along with Mr. Nauman during non-conference committee time as well.
Okay. All right. Committee members, any other amendments or anything else to come before the conference committee? Senator Cohen, do you want to say anything about tomorrow's plans?
I think getting the ball to the chair, right?
So, Mr. Chairman, we'll meet at the call of the chair and continue to work as we have this past day.
And the meeting would be in the Minnesota Senate building, the next building, their next meeting, rather.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, is there going to be any indication of what sections we're going to work on, or are we just going to go whatever, anything we'd like?
Well, I think, Senator Fischbach, at this point, unless someone has other language to bring forward, and I think we've gone through certainly all the language agreements I'm aware of, we're sort of waiting for making agreements related to money, and I guess we'll, you know, that is at the call of Senator Cohen. Certainly we don't want to meet if we don't have anything substantive to do, but I would expect that we'll be having some agreements in that area soon, and that will lead to some more negotiations and some more provisions that we can adopt. Any other questions? All right, wait for the call of Senator Cohen for tomorrow, and with that, we are adjourned. Okay.